I always find that we get to the stage of the week and that we need David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, so badly. David, please convince me why I should not encourage my daughter to be a child bride after, 40-something days of living at home with a teenager. It's not easy, David. It is not easy. You said that teenagers are vulnerable. What about their parents?
Howard, I have my limits, as long as I get an invitation, then I'll be happy.
Okay.
No, it's interesting because it is also very, very difficult for parents. And, you know, I must say, especially for the younger, the parents of younger children.
I actually can't imagine how hard it is to have littlies running around in lockdown all day at home. It's got to be, At least teenagers were dragging them out of their rooms, younger kids is very difficult, I'm sure.
No, it's completely, the challenges are very different. I think for the youngies, as you say, just very active, needing to be entertained. Teenagers, I think, are particularly vulnerable. And I've seen this over the last, the last week. I'm generalizing, but I think it's a safe one that, teenagers are starting to really feel this lockdown from an emotional, psychological point of view.
In what sense, David?
Well, if you think about teenagers, teenagers, in order to kind of developmentally move forward, and, psychologists, we like to think about each stage of life as, a need to develop certain skills and reach certain milestones. So when you think about teenagers, three things come to mind. They really are striving for independence. They have very strong desire to be with their peers and friends. And there's this absolute hunger for exploration. And when we think about, those three, milestones that they're trying to achieve, all of those are severely, affected by the lockdown. So, it's not surprising that teenagers are really struggling because, the lockdown makes it very difficult for them to achieve any of.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, they're stuck at home it's very difficult for them to process a lot of the stuff that they are dealing with. I do see that. And I was actually wondering if sort of these mini crises that maybe as parents in lockdown we are witness to, with regard to our teenagers, are things that would play out at school and would be dealt with amongst friends, but now they're all happening within the home environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a couple of things. The first one that really strikes me, and the word has been bandied around a lot, but really for teenagers, especially those who have, lost things, there's this loss, this terrible loss, and, tours were meant to go in a lifetime experiences.
This is true. Absolutely.
Some kids have waited years and years to be, in plays, and to be the, to play the main roles. I know boys who have just, that they've counted the years until they play, first team rugby
captain of the,
let's not be biased, even captain of the debating team, so there's huge losses and also this uncertainty about what else is going to be lost. Will there be matric dancers? And then the uncertainty around what is going to happen when it comes to exams, matric exams. Will this affect our futures?
Yes.
So there are so many things.
We're doing a lot of type of conversation at home. Do you think camp will happen? Do I think, daughter keeps saying, do I think Kfar will happen, which is this Israel program? And
yes.
I keep saying, we just don't know. And of course there's this massive sense, I didn't think of it in the sense of loss of what these teenagers and what these kids are giving up. And as you say, very often they look at this as a milestone and they look forward to this Israel program because I know in grade 10, that's where they go. And it's all very exciting. but will it or won't it happen?
Funny that you guys talk about loss. I'm thinking in my early high school years, I would have enjoyed this.
You know, say that now. I don't know if you take yourself back to it, Zanati. Because didn't you have things that you would look forward to in different years?
No, in my early high school, because I was a loner
or some environment maybe.
Because I struggled with a sense of belonging. And so honestly for me.
Yes, but imagine how isolated you would have felt then.
Even further.
Further, if you were sitting at home and further isolated. Mm. So, you know, and somebody who's already feeling that, can you imagine how much
even more isolated,
how it would increase that?
Yeah, and I need to say that, you know, we know that teenagers are difficult to navigate as it is. And we do see the onset of depression, anxiety frequently during teenage years because of that. But it's, you know, again, it's such a, and for parents, you mentioned parents, it's such a difficult balance between, you know, you know, we try not to take this personally as parents, hard. I think you have experienced this, you know, because they actually don't want to spend much time with their siblings often or with their parents, but they want to spend a lot of time and interact with their peers. So it's this kind of balance between allowing them to be alone in their rooms, to have their own space, but at the same time, you know, just keeping a very close eye out, that they are still interacting with their friends, that they are still, you know, reaching out, because that's often a sign that things are, you know, that there is something more serious happening. If they really are isolating themselves, not isolating themselves from parents or siblings, but isolating themselves from peers.
Yeah.
But I would quickly say also, I do think for me it's important that, you know, that parents encourage their teenagers to interact with their, you know, with their family. I would say at least once a day to sit down for a meal. You know, and to check in on them just to make sure that they're doing okay. You know, the other thing that comes to mind is, you know, teenagers are caught between, you know, being children and adults. It's a very precarious situation. And I think one of the things that I really do see that teenagers really, really appreciate is not being treated like a child. You know, and more to, obviously they, you know, you are still the parent and you need to set the limits and the boundaries. But I think a more of a collaborative approach is so much more effective. You know, how can I help you? You know, you know, you are feeling very grumpy, but everyone in the house, you know, also deserves to be, you know, also is in lockdown. You know, how do we balance this? You know, give me some ideas, you know, so really more of a collaborative kind of approach, especially now, goes a very long way.
Mm. Interesting. A couple of comments. Ansan says, my son had it tough, quite rough the last few years, not a lover of school, but now even he says that he is missing the teachers, his few friends, and even the bullies. Karen says, send your daughter my way. I'm finding myself challenging. Yeah, I think we do find ourselves. I mean, you know, we, you know, and I think, David, that's the other part, is we all managing our own stuff as well. You know, the parents house are stressed about their stuff, and no matter what that might be, and there's no space to be stressed outside of that environment. So it's, you know, and kids that are empaths will pick up on this very, very quickly when even if parents are trying to hide it. So that also breeds this kind of stress level.
Oh, there's no question, and especially teenagers, but children in general are very, as we've always said, are going to pick up on, you know, the temperature at home. You know, what are the caregivers feeling? How are they handling situations? And it has a huge impact on how the children, the teenagers respond and are feeling in the, you know, at home. But it's getting to I hear this a lot. You know, it's enough. This is, we've had some time to reflect, and we've looked at the good, and obviously, as we said, it's brought huge challenges from a financial point of view for many, many people. It's been devastating. But I think from an isolation point of view, people are saying, especially teenagers, like, you know, it's enough now. I really need to get out. So I think we are reaching a point, and I do feel very, you know, sorry, maybe that's the wrong word, for schools, because they are in such a precarious position, and understand the importance of education, understand the importance of social interaction, especially for children and teenagers in particular, but, you know, balancing that with the risk of infection. So, you know, I think my heart really goes out to them because it's such a difficult one for them.
Yeah, and I think the important point here is starting off by acknowledging the loss that yes. your teenagers and kids are experiencing. And it's not just teenagers, young kids as well. You know, the loss of being able to play in a playground and interact. Does this type of thing, let's assume this goes on, let's say for 3 months, does this have a lasting impact on our children in the future? I mean, will this be a defining moment in their development and in their reaction to certain things in their adulthood? I mean, if I think about it, I feel sorry for those people, you know, Zanati, who have those escape rooms.
Oh.
And they might as well shut down now. No one is going to an escape room. Done. No, I said, what do we do for fun? Let's lock ourselves in a room and try and escape. No, I don't think so.
But this was so fun.
Well, what was. Shut your doors right now. Use it for storage or something. But no one's going to that. The serious question behind that is does this have a lasting impact?
You know, really, it shouldn't. It shouldn't overall. You know, as I think if a teenager has a, you know, pre-existing condition and an underlying difficulty with anxiety or depression, for sure, I think it could exacerbate things. But I think, you know, generally, a child who has, or a teenager who is in a warm, nurturing environment, which is as consistent and predictable as it can be under these circumstances. No, I think will they reflect on it and say, geez, that was really a tough time. You know, was it difficult? Did we miss out? Absolutely. But as far as, you know, emotional, psychological difficulties, you know, really it shouldn't have that kind of impact moving forward. But I think your point is also so important, Howard. You know, we tend to do that as parents, and we've spoken about this before. You know, when parents, when children complain and teenagers complain, we always, you know, but there's so many people out there who are not eating. There's so many people out there who are so much worse off than you. And I think that there is a natural inclination to do that. But as you said, and I think it's so important that we acknowledge the loss, we acknowledge the difficulties that our children are feeling, even if they are eating well, even if they do have a roof over their heads, because for them, it is having a huge impact. So I think in order to help teenagers in particular and children through it, as you said, I think the key really is to empathize with them and to let them know that, you know, that this is a very, very difficult time for them.
Joining us is David Abramson. We are speaking about the challenges of teenagers in lockdown. Unsigned says, what about an escape room for moms? It's not easy for us either.
No, it's so difficult. And I would really, encourage parents to use the, and of course children, but
the bathroom. Use the bathroom. God gave us bathrooms for a reason, David. He didn't just give it to men.
I was going to say use the 6 to 9 window period to get out the house and go for a walk and use the opportunity to get some air because bathroom. And then maybe the bathroom during the days. But seriously, it's so important to try and get a different perspective, carve some time out for you to get away from our kids because, you know, if we don't say we want to, and I am saying this on radio, you know, at some point we feel like we want to take them out and not to a movie. Know, it's quite natural to, you know, it just gets completely overwhelming. So it is so important, for parents to, you know, to look after themselves because if they don't, and if parents are feeling guilty about it, then they, you know, and I just think there's less and less, but if they are feeling, you know, guilty about looking after themselves, they need to know that they're not doing their children a favor because if they don't have anything in the tank, they're going to have absolutely nothing for their children as well. So it's imperative that parents are looking after themselves no matter how difficult it is, but there is now in level four opportunity.
Well, one thing that I've suggested at home is to my wife, who seems chained to the kitchen at the moment because teenage sons are... I don't know. They inhale food. They vacuum it.
Yes.
So I said that you've got to actually put rules in place. They're old enough to be able to cook themselves. And you say, right, I'm going to provide these three meals or two meals, and one of them you're going to do yourself. But, you know, it's actually time because it's just not manageable otherwise.
Well, I think, you know, it's such a good opportunity to teach our children. And again, you know, especially, you know, we're talking about northern suburbs, you know, kids who are very privileged who do have their everyday needs taken care of. And you'll be surprised, Howard, how many kids don't know, you know, how to fold clothes. They don't know how to cook an egg. You know, don't know how to, you know, put basic things together. This is the time where
it's not called homeschooling for nothing.
Exactly. And I think, but absolutely to give them these life skills. And, not only is it, you know, helpful for the parents, you know, that they start taking some responsibility for things, but it also, it's so empowering for the kids, the sense of what, wow, like, you know, I've made myself a meal. I've actually done something which I can see, I'm now able to do, which I haven't tried before. Mm. It's huge. So I think for me, it really has, you know, two positive effects. So I would encourage parents not to, you know, run around their children 24/7 and make sure that they do, even the teenagers, take responsibility for certain things in the house. And, you know, I can hear parents saying, but, you know, if they don't do it, you know, what will happen? Try and make it things which will impact them. So, you know, for example, you know, they would not get, you know, say if they don't go and make their own lunch, then they don't get to eat. And, you know, that sometimes feels frightening for parents, but they'll come out, they'll find, you know, they'll get hungry and there's food.
Oh, yeah, I get nervous just thinking about it. Michael says, the problem is 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. is now breakfast time and online schooling. Parents' walking time should be 3 to 5. There's no question about that. There should be another time for parents to be able to, for people to be able to work, to walk or exercise well. You don't need to convince Anati and I who sit in studio from 6 to 9 every day. And Benjamin DeVette says, Howard, please be kind as to pass this morning's comments by David Abramson on to Mr. Ramaphosa so he can have those ministers who are treating us, the citizens of this errant, as errant rebellious children. And I think that is, of course, a very important point is to treat people like, to treat adults like adults.
Absolutely, and to understand that you know we might find the humor in it, but I can, and as I said, I think over the last, my sense is over the last 7 to 10 days, you know, there really has been a change in mood, a change in kind of feeling towards this, you know, that we really need something else. And I think Benjamin's you know, point is very valid, that, you know, we understand the importance of this, we understand why we're doing this, but we also need to be trusted to use opportunities like extra time to exercise, you know, and extra movement, and trust us, because it's not a luxury. It really, psychologically, emotionally, it's becoming a necessity.
Absolutely right. To David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, that's where we leave it. Thank you for a very, very informative and interesting discussion.